Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening and hello to everybody listening to us here on Ventriloquist Central's Blog Talk Radio. It's my pleasure to say hello to everybody, and tonight we have a very special show. I'm going to be interviewing my webmaster and partner, Steve Hurst, concerning websites for ventriloquists, and I think it'll be a very informative show, and I do hope we get quite a few people calling in. And Steve, why don't you first start off by giving people some instructions, just in case they don't know.
Okay, thanks, Dan. If you want to call in to the Blog Talk Radio program, the number is 347-850-8597, and we'll try to get you in as quick as possible. One thing I would like to say in regards to tonight's show, that at the end of the show, I'm going to be making a free offer if you want to take me up on it, so be sure you listen all the way through and find out what that free offer is. And I see by our chat room we've got some people lining up, so if you have a question in the chat room, go ahead and post it, and we will get to that as well. Okay. And right now the lines are open, so again, if you want to call in, ask anything about websites or marketing or anything like that, feel free to call in.
Okay, so Steve, let's get started. Let me first ask you a question. How about this? How important is a website for a ventriloquist?
Well, actually, a website is very important for anybody, not just a ventriloquist, but definitely a ventriloquist. And the reason being, and I can give you a very good example of it, websites are important today, and the internet per se, because with, like, ventriloquists, a lot of them advertise in the yellow pages. And the yellow pages is becoming an obsolete form of advertising, unfortunately.
Right.
And if anybody ever looks for, or they try to find anything, the majority of the people are always going to the internet. They're going to their favorite search engine, whether it's Google or Yahoo or MSN or any of the search engines out there, and
right,
they try to find what they're looking for. So this is one reason why that, you know, even if you're a hobbyist, because I talk to a lot of vents that just kind of do this part-time, but they'd like to make a few dollars at it, especially if you're a professional and this is what you do, it's imperative that you have a website, because this is going to be the one way that you market yourself, that you get your information out there, and you get people to, you know, find you and, you know, hopefully would want to hire you for your services.
Right.
Another reason why that you definitely have to have a website is because 9 times out of 10, your competition does. And you know, for us vents, competition doesn't necessarily mean another vent. It means anybody that's in the entertainment field or in the genre that you are, you know, that you're doing, such as if you're a kid show, you know, you've got these little, I know a couple of people that do the what they call the little zoo animals, the little zoos,
right,
and they bring the zoo animals in, and that's part of the whole birthday party or any other type of event, fairs and stuff for the little kids. So your competition is anybody that, you know, would be hired besides
sure.
you.
Sure.
And more than likely, they've got a website. So that right there in a nutshell is why that, you know, everybody, and especially vents, need to have a website.
Well, of course, there's also that old adage that, you know, competition breeds business, too. And
That's a good point. Very good point.
Yeah. Okay. Now, you mentioned in our preview audio, I hope everybody listened to that, about a crucial problem that most vents, as well as others, make with their websites. Can you explain that for us?
Sure, I'd love to. One thing is, one thing about the problem with a lot of websites, and this is, again, a lot of them in general, but the main issue that a lot of websites do, and especially Vince, is they're what I call and what a lot of website marketers call ego-driven. And what I mean by that is it's more about what I am or what the vent is or what the business is. You know, it's all about, it's kind of like the old joke that we used to make about, they used to do in the Brady Bunch, the whole Marcia, 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 me, me, me. Well,
right.
A lot of websites out there, unfortunately, and, you know, I've seen a ton of them, they're all about the me, the me, the me, and it's not about what they can do for their customer, their client, whatever type of market that they're going after. Their website is not projecting that message. It's projecting too much of, oh, I can do this, I can do that. And what that does is it actually drives away the people that are coming to your website.
Okay.
You definitely want to make sure that your customer is not turned off by this whole ego-driven thing, and that your website is set up in a way that it's saying, hey, this is what I can do for you, this is what I can do for your event, this is what I can do for, you know, your show, whatever it is that your market or that you're trying to go after. It's more about your customer or your prospective customer and not so much about what you are, what you can do, and things like that. So that's the biggest issue, a mm-hmm. big crucial problem, I should say, with a lot of websites in general, but unfortunately, especially a lot of vent websites.
Right, right. I understand. Okay, well, there's another thing that I wanted to bring up that you explained to me, but a lot of people might not know, and that's you mentioned Flash, and that's not good on a website. Why don't you tell us what Flash is? Because I bet a lot of people out there don't know.
Well, and that's true. They don't know what Flash, and I see we got a caller online, so if you'll hold on, we'll definitely get to you. I think I know who it is anyway, but I think it's my cigar-smoking buddy. But Flash, what Flash is Flash is, well, it can be video, and it can be like if you've gone to a website and there is, you know, they got a little video or it's like an animation that goes across the website screen, and sometimes it'll say skip intro and sometimes it won't.
Right.
And the problem with Flash, number one, and anybody that really builds websites, I'm not talking about geeks, but I'm talking about anybody that's really in the business of websites and in the business of marketing, know from study after study after study that the majority of the people, number one, hate Flash. So that's the first thing. If somebody comes to your website and you've got Flash right there on it at the beginning, you're already turning off the majority of your prospective customers. The second problem with Flash is that with Flash, if you're trying to get out there in the search engines, and that's what we call SEO, or it's called search engine optimization, and all that means is kind of fancy saying of getting the right keywords, the right words out there, the right links out there so that you're found on Google, so that you're found on Yahoo and the major search engines. And when you have Flash on your website, that is a deterrent for the search engines to what we call index your site on
okay.
their search engines.
Right.
So Flash is a double whammy as far as, first off, you're turning off your prospective customer, and second, you can't get listed in Google in a good search.
Okay.
So it
really does impair the website.
It does. It impairs it quite a lot.
Right.
And I see we got a couple of calls. So
all right. Well, let's take our first call.
Let's grab one of these. Let's grab this 407. Like I said, I think I know who this is, but you can try this again. 407, you're there.
Hey,
hello?
How are you?
Hey, Dave. Hey, good. How about you?
Hey, Steve.
Hi.
Ed Thomas here.
Hey, Ed. Good to see you. Good to see you. I can't see you, but I certainly can hear you.
Steve, you gave me some great advice, and it has to do with a website. For everyone's information, I bought a web name, Ed Thomas and Hugo, 2 years ago. And then I let it expire. And, Steve, you told me that I shouldn't have done that because that name now is out there and somebody could buy it or something. And it had expired, and it took me 2 hours the other night, but the founder of the website company called me personally and walked me through, so I now have a domain name, Ed Thomas and Hugo, once again.
Oh, terrific.
Good deal. Yeah, because the day I called you, well, it had already expired a few days ago or a few weeks ago, hadn't it?
Yeah, it had. And
you do have a little bit of a grace period, generally. Now, I can't say that works all the time, but I do know that with the host company or the domain company that I use, I can usually, like I say, I have a little bit of a lead time if it gets to that point.
Well, it was almost 2 weeks, I think, and it was all on the computer. It says dial this number to re-register. I dialed that number, and then it flashed up, your name has expired. And I dialed another number, and they put me through three or four different channels, and the end result was your website has expired. So after about a half hour of that, I called a number on the phone and got a guy in person to walk me through it. So
I'm glad to hear it. That's good. At least now you got your name back, and you know now you're officially somebody, Ed.
Well. Thank you. I never thought you would say that, but thank you very much.
I'm high on medicine right now, so you know, no telling what I'm saying. But anyway, no.
Yeah, I've been listening to you, and it's showing up. I'll tell you. Anyway, I just thought I'd contribute that. It's not very often I can contribute anything intellectually, but I do appreciate that advice you gave me, and wanted you to know I now have a domain name.
Terrific.
Well, that's good.
Nice talking to you guys.
Ed, take care.
I'll send you the bill.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.
That's great. If people don't know, that was Ed Thomas and Hugo. Ed's a working ventriloquist down in the Florida area and does TV commercials and acting, and he's a really great guy. Contributes.
Well, going along with that. What happened is the other day, you know, he contacted me and asked me a few things about, you know, websites and
right.
search engines and things like that. And so I remember him telling me that he, you know, at one point he was, you know, trying to put together a website. Excuse me. And so I went and looked up his information, and I did see that his domain name had expired.
Oh, boy.
I had immediately called him and said, hey, you need to take care of this so that, you know, somebody else doesn't grab it, because then it'll take you a year or better before you can get it back, if you can even get it back then. So
right.
How that whole situation happened.
Well, I think we have another caller, if I'm not mistaken.
I think so, too. Let me see here. Let's try this. 816, you're on the air. Is anybody
Hello?
There?
Hello.
Are you talking to me?
Yes, we are.
Okay, great. Hey, wonderful show. Thank you, Steve. I didn't know if you were talking to me or not there. Wonderful show, Steve, Dan. Yes, it is. I want to say it's something that's long overdue. Yep, you got the one. You go right on the post office wall today, but yep, that's me. So anyway,
do you have a patch over your eye?
Yeah, I will. When he sees me again, I know that. Anyway, what I wanted to ask you about, and we were talking about the a little bit of the videos, and I went to the phone and I missed a little bit of that. But on a video on a website, how many do you say a person should use, and what should be the length of those videos?
Well, you know, now that's a good question, and I'm not sure. Now, when I was talking about it, first I was talking about flash video, which flash is a little bit, the flash video style is, I mean, and I probably should go back and explain flash a little bit better. The flash that I was actually talking about that turns people off is the flash that's more the animated, or it's the video that comes up on the very first page, and you either have to watch it, or sometimes they'll allow you to do the skip intro and you can get through that. Now, that can be just animation, or it can be a video. And what I'm talking about is that whole process of flash there, a lot of people don't like, and plus it doesn't help you in search engines. Now, there's another way to process video that we call, and it's in a flash format, what we call a FLV format, which is a flash format. Now, those videos are fine if you want to use those on your website along with, you know, all the other formats. There's Windows Media, there's QuickTime, and different variety. Generally, though, you do want to, if you put a put a video on your website, you want to use it as a flash format because that is universal with Macs and the different, you know, and PCs and everything else.
Right.
If you use like Windows Media Player, Macs can't see it unless they've got conversion to see that. And QuickTime, unless somebody's downloaded QuickTime and has that on their computer, then they can't watch a QuickTime video. So Flash is a pretty universal video format. Now, my suggestion with video is that you upload your videos to YouTube and then put the embedding link on your website so that now you have the YouTube video on YouTube and now it's linking back to your, and then you have the embedding code on your site so that now you're linking back to the YouTube video. So in essence, it works kind of as a double link for you and it helps you in search engines.
Now that's
now,
what we do with
many
we
have.
Do that.
Well, was that, Dan?
I said that's what we do with our videos for Ventriloquist Central.
Right, that's the reason. Right. The length of them now, you know, that's going to vary, and you know, you ask, you know, 10 people, and they're all going to give you a different answer. My view is you don't want to overdo it. And I think personally that, you know, putting up clips of it, like various bits of your video and making it around 3 to no more than 5 minutes is probably perfect. If you're doing it to try and gain a prospective customer. Now, we haven't gotten into it, and I'll mention it a little bit later, but, you know, there's nothing that says you have to have one website either.
Right.
And if you have multiple websites, then you might have a separate website that may have a few more videos on there for a variety of reasons, and they may be a little bit longer, too.
Right.
I think, you know, personally, you've only got about 5 or 10 seconds first to grab somebody's attention.
Mm-hmm.
And once you've got it now, they don't necessarily want to sit there and watch a long video. They just want to see a little bit of it. To see, you know, okay, is this person going to be able to entertain our group? Are they going to be able to do what we want them to do and then move on from there? Now, the only people that want to watch a longer routine are other vents, quite honestly. But your prospective customer is not going to really be interested in that whole thing. They just want to see a little bit to see if you, you know, the right stuff for them, basically.
Right. A promo video. Never more than 3.5 minutes, and it's really giving you just clips. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if you watch, what comes to mind for me is David Blaine as a magician. If you watch his show, David Blaine Street Magic, all it is clips. You never see a full trick from start to finish. You never see that. He gives you a little bit, he gives you the teaser, and then he gives you the kabam in your face. And it's clips, 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 clips. And that's what you got to do when you're doing a video to promote yourself.
All righty. Hey, thanks a lot, guys. That answers what I need to know. I appreciate it. We'll talk to you later. Okay.
Thanks for calling in, Ron.
Bye bye.
Hey, Steve. Before we take our next call, I wanted to get a little bit more of your background. You know, I'm sure there's a lot of people that are listening that don't know any of your background. So why don't you tell us a little bit about your business background and how you came about to be a webmaster?
Okay, well, let's see. I guess to borrow a line from Bill Cosby from the 60s, I started out as a child. of course, that was on one of his albums, and for you young people, albums are what we used to listen to. We didn't have MP3s.
Were you listening to albums or were you listening to cylinders?
Okay. Whoa, cylinders, now you're going back. Yeah, I know. I didn't do that. I know you did. But anyway, kids in my area at the time, you know, when I was in the 60s and 70s, first jobs I had happened to be in fast food. And so I kind of got to know that area. But the thing about when I was doing working in all the different fast food and restaurants and things like that, I had always kind of peeked out at how much money I could make. And
right.
So the opportunity of sales came along, and, of course, you and I talk about this a lot because you used to be in sales as well.
Right.
But when sales came along, I was excited about it, which turns a lot of people off because it's commission. And if you don't sell anything, you don't, you know, you don't eat, basically. But I liked it for the fact that I could control, you know, what I made, and
right.
I could keep making more and more and more. So I got into sales, and since I had been in restaurants, I got into food sales. And I did that for many years, but I was on what we called on the street, selling to restaurants, selling to hospitals and schools and all those different variety of type places. And I did that for about 12 years. So that's kind of where I learned my sales background. And then in the marketing area, I also had to help restaurants market the items to their patrons and everything else. So I ended up learning a lot about marketing and things like that. And after about 12, 13 years, I actually got into sales management. And so I was a sales manager, which, again, was more marketing because now you're trying to market the company, market
right.
your salespeople and things like that. So I had this background in sales and marketing, and I was in the food business for about 22 years, I think. But during that time, I also kind of just picked up computers. Computers, to me, was just something that came natural. And in fact, I remember back in my food selling days, we used to have an order entry system, which was like this oversized calculator. There was a couple of different ones. One was called a Telzon. One was called an MSI. And I had actually learned how to reprogram them. And so it was just, again, something that came natural. And so computers came along. And I actually had worked in Apple and Mac in the beginning. And then because of the food company I went to work for in the 90s, they were PC-based. So I switched over. And that was back before Windows. That was back in the DOS days and things
right.
like that. And so fast forward to about the mid-90s, the web, you know, Internet was, you know, starting to be a little bit more popular for the average person. I was even playing around with websites back then, doing some website coding and things like that. And by 2000, I was actually building websites. And, you know, fast forward to now, I mean, that's been my business. I do
right.
websites, take all the sales and marketing skills that I had back then. I've applied them to websites. I keep up on the current marketing things and the you know, all the website stuff and everything involved in that. And so that's kind of been my business for a little over 15 years, actually. So.
Okay. All right. And I should let everybody know that Ventriloquist Central is one of your websites, but you have a lot of other sites that you do work for. This is a full-time job for you.
Right. It is. I mean, I do, you know. And to kind of give people another little hint, I guess, if for lack of a better term, back when I started, one of my big websites was a car dealership website.
Uh-huh.
And back then, whenever I would learn something new, I would test it out on the car dealer website. Well, now, anytime I learn something, I'm always, Ventriloquist Central is always my testing ground, as you well know.
And, yes, I do.
Yeah, a lot of these. And I was just going to say, if anybody could pick up the subtlety. Now, some of the stuff you can see and some of the stuff is behind-the-scenes stuff. But there's a lot of information and a lot of clues and hints and secrets, if you want to call them, that are within the Ventriloquist website that anybody could take and take the ideas and put it into their website to probably make it even more more advantageous, help them get the type of clients they want or the customers and that type of thing. So, yeah, I do
right.
a lot of testing with Ventriloquist Central, and when I find it works, then I run it out to my business clients and use the concepts in their website. So this
cool.
stuff works universal.
Right. Another thing that I was going to touch on that I was very reluctant about, and you had to twist my arm, but, you know, I have to give you prompts. and that's people have to also have their websites linked to Facebook. And why don't you tell people why that is so?
I will get into that a little bit later, actually. But, yeah, you got to do everything, unfortunately or unfortunately.
Right.
Because it's all becoming cross-tied, and there's even, I mean, I'm jumping way ahead, but the next step that's going to freak some people out, like you and me, is the mobile part. Mobile, you know, so many people are accessing their internet and the web and everything on their phones.
Right.
And there's so many, I mean, I'm meeting, you know, one of my clients, as you know, is a hospital, and that's, I do some IT work there. And I'm meeting so many, I call them kids, they're 20s and 30s, and they don't even have email addresses. Everything's done through texting.
Uh-huh.
So, if you know, everything keeps changing and evolving, and you have to stay on top of it and be aware of it so that depending on your client, their needs, and what they're doing, you got to know how to take care of them that way.
Right,
and
right.
I could see a time when maybe Vince, you know, might have to be a little, I won't say concerned, but be aware of how to use mobile technology in their promotion, too. So
right,
it's
right.
Something to do.
Okay, all right. Well, I have a question for you. What's
okay.
the big mistake that most vents make to attract the wrong kind of traffic or potential customers to their websites? How's that for a question?
Okay. Yeah, well, this is kind of gets into my big pet peeve. And, now, I see we got some people in the chat room, and there's some, you know, probably some people, you know, listening on the internet. And the thing is, we may end up losing a bunch of them here because I'm going to be brutally
okay.
honest here.
All right.
But a lot of Vince, and it's entertainers too, but I'm gonna pick on Vince for a second. They do one thing, they do a few things. And the problem is with a Vince site, and I can tell this when I go look at a lot of Vince sites, is they're all about the same. And the problem with them is the only people that they really attract are other ventriloquists.
Mm-hmm.
And other ventriloquists are not your market. Your market, if it's kid shows, it's, you know, that type of market. And if you're doing corporate stuff, you're wanting to attract corporate businesses.
Right.
But so many of the ventriloquist websites I see are so much alike that they're doing is they attract other ventriloquists to look at it. And I'll give you one, for instance, which is a big bugaboo. And so many ventriloquist sites has a puppet gallery or a dummy gallery or see my puppets or see my dummies.
Right.
And the cold hard facts are the customer or the client that wants to hire you could really care less about your puppets or your dummies. The only people that care about those are other ventriloquists.
Like me, a collector.
Exactly.
I want to see what you got.
Exactly. I mean, I'm that way too. I love going to the sites and looking
right.
at the different dummies and the puppets and things like that. But I'm not hiring you to perform for my show.
Right.
And that's what I'm getting at. Your customer doesn't care about that. They don't know that they've got a character. What your client wants to know is, can you perform for them? Can you fulfill the duty? Can you entertain them? If you're doing, you know, in the religious sector, can you deliver your message or whatever? Or, you know, there's some people in the business sector that are doing some motivational stuff and things like that. So are you delivering the message, the show, the entertainment that I want to hire you to do?
Right.
That's what your customer is thinking. They are not thinking about, oh, that's a cute puppet, I want to hire this person.
Right.
That's not what's going through your customer's mind. And so that's the thing that they need to think like their customer. Now,
mm-hmm.
that's just one area. Another area that's really crucial is that, quite honestly, if you're doing different type of venues, you need different websites. There's not written in stone that you can only have one website.
Right.
And I know businesses that cater to different parts of a business. They have different niches in those business, and they have a separate total website for each one of those niches.
Sure.
So let me give you an example. Let's play a little game I like to call What If.
Right.
And let's play this What If game. What if I am a corporate customer looking at your website, and I see that you do kid shows? Now, we vets know that doing a kid show is a pretty hard work. I did kid shows back in the 90s, and I think doing kid shows is harder than doing corporate work.
Absolutely.
But to a corporate person looking to hire you, they look at that thinking, well, if this person's a kid show performer, they're probably not up to the corporate standard. That can be a deterrent, and
right.
It can work the other way around. If you have that you're a corporate entertainer on your site and somebody wants to hire you for a kid show, which you do, there is a thought process that, oh, well, they probably only can appeal to, you know, an older audience. They probably can't appeal to kids. Now, we know all that's bogus, but you've got to think of how your customer thinks.
Right,
and
right.
Thoughts going through their head. So it's advantageous to have a corporate website, a kid show website, or any variety, whatever your market is that you're trying to go after. It's very advantageous to have separate websites for each one of those.
Right, right.
Now, you know, the other thing, I'll add one more thing. The other thing that's nice is when you have separate websites is that it helps you in the SEO or the search engine optimization, too.
Sure,
so
because you're cross-linking them. Right, you cross-link.
Well, sometimes you want to cross-link and sometimes you don't. But the thing is if you are marketing yourself and trying to create a brand for yourself, which everybody's doing, but it's a little bit harder. I mean, now you take, for instance, Jeff Dunham or Terry Fader. Now, you know, Jeff Dunham is one of the smartest marketers I've seen. He has created a brand for himself. And, of course, you know, now that, you know, I mentioned him, some people say, well, he's got his dummies, you know, or his puppets on his website. Well, yeah, but everybody knows their character.
Right,
you know,
right.
But when you are out there trying to, you know, promote yourself to different companies that have never heard of you and things like that, they don't know your puppets' characters or your dummies' characters.
Right.
And so the thing is, it might not be advantageous to cross-link, but however, if they have heard of you or anything else and they type you in Google or a search engine, you're going to come up more often than maybe somebody that only has one website, especially if you've had the three and they were done right. And, of course, you know, just a quick thought, some people are going to say, well, gosh, I have three. I can't afford three websites. Well, if you find the right person, three websites is not going to be any harder to build than one huge website.
Right, right.
So that, again, might be confusing to your client and everything else. Now, just, you know, I run into this because I'll have people, you know, because I'll tell ventriloquists. I've actually told a few ventriloquists and a few businesses the same type of information of how they're attracting the wrong type of clientele because they built it. You know, ventriloquists don't know. I won't say they're the only ones that do this because I see businesses that copy other businesses' websites, and there's everybody looks the same. There's a saying in the marketing world that it's marketing incest, and, you know, it just keeps getting, you know, dumber and dumber that people can't find you because of everybody's got the same type of website.
Can't see the forest for the trees.
Yeah, exactly. And it's got to be different and unique, and it's got to appeal to the clientele that you're going after.
Right.
And I have had people say, well, you know, I get people to say they like my website. And I say, well, that's fine. But are you getting customers? Are they buying from you? You know, it makes me think of some of the commercials that people talk about how much they love, and yet these commercials didn't do squat to the bottom line for people, for the companies.
Right.
So just because a certain commercial and we think, oh, that's cute and oh, that's great, bottom line is it didn't increase the company's dollars, and that's what that's supposed to do. That's what that advertising is supposed to do. And it's the same way with your website. You know, everybody in the world can like your website, but if it's not doing the job that it's supposed to do, then what good is it?
Okay, well,
you know,
okay, well then answer me this. What's a good way for everybody to start increasing traffic to their website?
Well, an easy way and it's fairly fast.
Yeah.
It depends on how committed they are to it. But one of the easiest ways is to start a blog.
Okay.
And if you start the right kind of blog, it will definitely increase website traffic, and I can explain why. First off, and you don't have to be like Dan, you know, do a blog every day, although that'll help increase traffic a lot quicker. But if you at least do it once a week or twice a week, it'll help get traffic, get you noticed in Google. Google loves blogs.
Uh-huh.
And I'll give you another little secret. Google loves WordPress blogs. And if you don't know what WordPress is a format that most hosting companies offer for free. And what it does is, in fact, Google likes WordPress better than it likes its own Google blog, which nobody can understand, but that's just the way it is.
That's amazing.
And there's a way you check this, and Dan can attest to this. There is a rating that everybody knows in the website business called Alexa rating.
Mm-hmm.
And what Alexa does is rates all the websites from the most popular to the least popular. Give you an example, Google is number one.
Right.
So that's the most popular. And it goes all the way from there. Last year about this time, wasn't it, Dan? Last year about this time, we were 14 million in Alexa rating. As of this year, as of today, we are around 367,000.
And that's the entire web.
Yeah, that's the entire website.
Right.
But it's all because of what we did. We did a few things different on our blog.
Right.
And anybody else could do it too. But the thing is you got to have the blog before you start doing that. And this is one of the fastest techniques that I've used lately for my clients is get them started on a blog. And there's a couple of things that we do after that. But once we get that rolling, the traffic starts coming in because they're starting to be seen more on Google, and they actually get and they're attracting the type of customer that they're wanting.
Right.
So it's great for that.
Great. Any other ways besides the blog?
Yeah, there's Ron brought up a good point when he made his call. One way is videos, putting videos on your site, the little clips. Or like I say, the YouTube, if you put a YouTube video on your site and then it's on YouTube, and you got to make them public too. Some people make them private, but no, you want to make them public so that you can get a lot of views on YouTube, and then you link them back to and you put them back to your site. Now, I'll give another little secret here, and that's a good point. I'd actually forgot about this until you just brought that up.
Uh-huh.
One thing that you do, and if anybody will notice, and like I say, if you watch what we do on Ventriloquist Central, there's just little bitty secrets here and there that are very powerful. And one of them is, if you go to any of the videos on YouTube, now they're actually under my name, Vent Dog. But if you'll look at any of the videos with Dan and his figures, if you'll notice in the description, the first thing that you see, the very first thing that you see is the blog website address. And that is key because when people are looking at that description, if you have a long description, you know, now you got to hit an arrow to expand it out so you can see. What the majority of people do is they put their website name, they'll put it down at the bottom or at the last of the description. And
right.
People may never see it. If you make that the very first thing that you put before you put any of your description, now people have a chance to click on that. There's more opportunity that they will click on that and go to your website.
Okay.
That was one of the things that we did that helped increase our Alexa rating.
Yeah, I remember we did that right away. Yeah.
Yeah, you put your website link at the very first of the description, Then put your description. And again, now when it comes to description, you got to be very key, what we call keyword focused, so that it, you know, if you're a ventriloquist that's performing, you know, I live in Oklahoma, eastern Oklahoma, so a ventriloquist performing in eastern Oklahoma, you can name the cities in the area or whatever. All of that helps you in search engine optimization in Google. And then, it, like I say, then it links back to your website. You have the video on your website, which links back to Google. We call them backlinks, back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
And all of that helps you with your search engines and, again, to get your rating up and to increase traffic.
Right. You know what?
Now,
oh, go ahead.
No, that's fine.
Oh,
I was going to
say. I was going to say one of the things that you talk about getting a massive amount of hits was when Steve Axtell used that platypus, you know, the platypus thing, and he did
right,
it with the YouTube.
Right, exactly.
I mean, that was just, it emblazoned a trail, and it's hundreds of thousands of people. And think about
right.
The traffic that
well,
brought
exactly.
To
exactly, and so he created what we call in the business a viral video,
mm-hmm.
And that viral video just took off like wildfire, and so, yeah.
Right.
So it was
incredible
it was
amount of traffic to his website because of that little
exactly.
Video. Yeah. Yeah, that's incredible.
And there's another thing. YouTube is not the only video site out there.
Uh-huh.
It's the most popular, but there's many others. And, you know, as you know, Dan, and I'll let these people in on another secret.
Mm-hmm.
When we post videos, I post videos on about 15 different video sites, and there's even more than that.
Right, right.
And the next morning in the Google Alert, because we both subscribe to the Google Alert to tell us when ventriloquism comes up and things
right.
Like that, we show up about 7 or 8 times minimum, sometimes up to 10 times
right.
Because of all these videos are on all these video sites. And again, I have the domain name listed first so that, and in fact, we both know this. I've tracked it, and we will get massive amounts of hits every time we put up a video coming back to the site.
Right.
In fact, sometimes we get so many hits that then it costs us more money because we're getting so many hits, but that's another thing.
Right, right. Well, I'm enjoying doing this interview and asking you questions that pop into my head, but I want to remind people that they can feel free to call in. I mean, we're more than welcome to answer any questions that anybody might have. So.
Stuff. I mean, some of this stuff already that I've told you, I charge clients a lot of money to tell them this because there's some really good, neat secrets here. The
right.
Blog secret, you know, is great. The link secret, you can't believe how much that increases traffic back to your website.
Right.
And
right.
Our number, just for those that may have joined late, is 347-850-8597. So you can call in, and we'll definitely, like I say, I'll answer any question you want me to, you know, you want to ask about websites, about marketing, any of that.
Right, right. Okay, well, any other marketing ideas for people who have websites already that
sure.
We haven't touched on?
A couple of things. I'll go back, you know, you'd already talked about it, but Facebook, you need to get active on Facebook, I think.
Right.
And actually, what you really need to do is, if you're really serious about performing and everything, I mean, Pete Michaels has done this. Pete Michaels has created a groups page, a fan page. Bob Abdu, Mr. Puppet,
right.
Has done the same thing. You want to create these pages, and not necessarily to get other ventriloquists again. I'm back to, I mean, we all like to be a little close with the community, but the thing is you really want to go after your customer base.
Right.
And so you
right.
Create these type of, so you got to kind of do everything.
Yeah.
And I'll give you a little secret. You know, years ago, I remember somebody asking me when I was very successful in selling, and they said, what's the secret to, you know, your success? And, you know, the secret was, is there was no secret. The secret is you got to do everything.
Right.
You got to do all the little things. And so, you know, you got to do the videos, do the blog. You got to
right.
Do the, you know, get yourself on Facebook. Some people can use Twitter. I played around with Twitter. I just haven't really used it in the marketing aspect.
Right.
Some people are doing that. some of the things that really help with marketing your website, and I know some people are doing this, but I still see a lot of people aren't. You need what we call a contact form on your website.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason being is a lot of people, and this was a secret I learned. I tested this back in my dealership days, is, you know, some people will have, well, email me here. And they'll have a link there to click on that opens up an email program, which generally is, if you're on a PC, it's going to be Outlook, Outlook Express, or
right,
whatever your default program is. However, when you got somebody like Dan who's on AOL, he clicks on that link, nothing happens.
Mm-hmm.
So unless he copies and pastes that email into his email address, into his email program,
right,
nothing's going to happen. And, you know, a lot of people, they don't take the time. So what you need is what we call the contact form, which is that form that you see, name and email address, and then you can make your comments.
Right.
That's crucial to have on every site that you, you know, that you have. When I first ran this test back in 2000, I think it was, 2001, we were getting like one email a month into the dealership. And this dealership was one of the first ones that really, I mean, I won't say first, but, you know, car dealership websites now are a dime a dozen, but back then there wasn't that many. And we were getting maybe one email a month. Well, once we put that contact form in about 3 months, we were getting over 500 emails a month. And that was back then, and it's just, you know,
right,
gone crazy since. Same thing with our site, you know.
Oh, yeah.
You remember when we did the same thing, you know, when I put a form on Ventriloquist Central, I mean, we're constantly now getting emails
all the time
through the contact form all the time.
Right.
So that's a crucial thing in helping the market, you know, helping your site for marketing is to get you a contact form. Definitely understand the SEO stuff, or make sure that your webmaster understands it. Search engine optimization, the thing about that is it's changing all the time. So you got to have someone that really understands what's going on so that you don't get left behind. The other thing, too, if you're performing in a specific area, you need to make sure that your search engine names and things like that are all very specific to your area, so that if somebody's looking for an entertainer in Nashville, Tennessee, or Los Angeles, or, you know, wherever, you know, you need it to be specific not only to all the surrounding cities, the surrounding towns, the counties, all of those things, so that if somebody is trying to find an entertainer in your area, you are going to be the one that they find. So you really need to make sure that you're specific in the area that you're performing in.
Right. All right. Well, now I have a segue for you from that, because,
okay,
you know, everybody uses, well, I'm going to say everybody, 99% of everybody uses Google for their search engine, okay?
Right.
How does Google work? Because it finds it places you in different orders. How the hell does that stuff work?
Well, the thing about Google is I can tell you how it works today, and that can change tomorrow. and that's no lie. I mean, Google operates like that. But there are some things, and let's go back to this specific area. Google does something called Google Maps, which is great. And if you create an account in Google and you say that, you know, I'm performing in this area, when anybody types in entertainer or ventriloquist or whatever in that area, it's going to come up and show you in Google Maps as you're the person in that area.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's a key help in marketing, because then, like I say, it comes up. It's one of the first things that will come up in Google.
Right. Okay.
Something I do for my business accounts, especially my what we call the brick and mortar accounts, where they have a building and their storefront, and this works great for them, but it can also work for ventriloquists as well.
Mm-hmm.
And let's see, looks like we do have a caller, Dan.
Okay.
Why don't we jump in and grab this? This
sure.
is 919. You're on the air.
Hey, Steve, Dan.
Hello.
Hi. Can you hear me? George Boozy.
Hey, George. Nice to hear from
George.
You.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Terrific.
Good.
Yeah, well, I've been listening to your conversation. It's certainly been educational. One of the things that you haven't talked about, Steve, is the cost, the building of the website, the hosting of the website, whoever's going to host it, you know, and keep it up on the web, and things like that. So, starting with sort of the basics, you know, for someone who's just getting into the web end of using this for their ventriloquism, how much is that going to cost, and how does the cost grow? I mean, the creation of it, the hosting of it, and so forth.
Good question, Jim.
You know, are you looking at our notes?
Well, you know, I was a reporter. We always follow the money.
Yeah. Hey, Dan, look at number 10, the next question.
Oh, gosh.
I'm telling you, George, you need to get in the mind-reading game.
Yeah, really.
That's probably next. I can't juggle.
Yeah. Well, you do ask a great question because I was, you know, that, and it really is the next part I was going to get into. And what first I'm going to say is what you don't want to do, and what you don't want to do, quite honestly, and again, this may upset a few people, you don't want to do it yourself because then it looks amateurish, and there's the old saying, you don't get a second chance at a first impression.
Right.
So you want to make sure that the first impression that your customer sees is a good impression. You don't want them to see an amateurish site. The other thing I like to say is you don't want to hire a geek. And I'm kind of a geek in a way, but what I mean by that is you get somebody that, yeah, they know all the fancy coding and everything else, but if they have no marketing background and know how to create your site to where it's friendly, you know, what we call site friendly, it's navigation friendly, because a lot of geeks, again, I go back to the Flash thing, a lot of geeks want to throw a lot of Flash up. You don't want the Flash. You just don't want something basic that, you know, presents presents you in the right light to the customer that you're trying to go after.
Right.
So that's what you don't want to do. You definitely want to get, you know, a webmaster that has a little bit of marketing experience. You want to, you know, and check them out, too. I mean, there's nothing wrong with checking out to see, you know. And now I don't say check out their websites because and I'll be the first to admit that I have built websites that I particularly don't like, but that's what the customer wanted. And since the customer's paying me, then I'm going to build what they want.
Right.
But you can find out from their clientele how well they are, how responsive they are, do they do things in a timely manner, things like this. You do bring up a good point as far as, yeah, that gets you in the door, but what about later on? And that's just it. Websites are never static or never just done. They're always in transitions if you're doing them right. And so then
we know that.
Oh boy, do we ever. There can be maintenance agreements and stuff like that, but you know, I also go back to everything's negotiable. And my other point here too is because I get people say, well, that's a little bit much for a website, I think I'll pass. Yet they just spent $500 for a puppet or $2,000 for a dummy, and it's like, you know, you need to spend a little bit in your marketing and advertising if you want to be able to use those items.
Right.
So that's kind of that in a nutshell. How's that?
Well, that's interesting, and especially if you're looking at like what we used to call a brochure site, some of the radio stations where I worked, which was basically just, you know, a few pages telling about, in that case, the radio station, what the formats
right.
were, you know, the probably a schedule, a weekly schedule of programs and so forth. And would you recommend that that's what people start with, a fairly simple brochure site, a few pictures, a couple of quotes from people that you've entertained, and if possible, some video?
I don't know if I would call it a brochure site, but you're on the right track, yes. I think everybody needs a little bit of information about them. I think they need to tell the story of what they do, that it's acceptable to the clientele. I think you do need a testimonial page because your happy customers can sell you better than you can sell you.
Right.
And then some contact information. I think that's the very basic that you need, yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, this has been interesting, and I'll hang up and let someone else get on the line. It's been nice talking to you guys.
George, terrific talking to you, too. Thank you for the call.
All right. Take care, man.
Take care. Well, George was very perceptive because I was going to ask you next what kind of money for websites.
We're getting right down on the time here, so I want to talk about the offer that I have.
Okay.
And then I think I want to say one more thing, too. First off, my offer, and this is something I charge up to $200 to do for prospective customers that want to hire me, and that is I do what I call a website analysis or a website evaluation.
Right.
And any of the vets that are listening, if they want to contact me, and you'll have to contact me at my email address, steve@ventriloquicentral.com, very easy to remember, steve@ventriloquicentral.com. If you will type in the subject line in all caps, website, and then send me your information, your name, and your website, and I will do an evaluation for you. And be forewarned, I'm going to be brutally honest, but I'll tell you exactly what I think about your site, because there's so many other things we didn't get into. We didn't get into fonts. We didn't get into layouts.
We didn't get into
backgrounds. I mean, there's just a ton of other things that we just did not even touch on.
Right.
But if you want me to do an analysis of your website, and depending on how many I get, you know, I'll let you know kind of when I can get to it and everything else. But I'll be happy to give it to you, and I won't charge you a dime for it, just because, and like we said in the preview, I'm doing all of this because, you know, Vent is in the public eye now. I'd sure love to keep it there, and this is my helping all of you. You know, promote yourselves, get out there and perform everywhere all over the country, all
we
over the world.
We want everybody working. Everybody.
So we can go over again. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
So if you're interested, like I say, send me an email to steve@ventriloquicentral.com. Type in the subject line website in all caps, and then give me your information, and I'll definitely get back to you.
Okay. Well, that's a great offer, everybody. I mean, where are you going to get a free analysis? So take him up on it.
I do charge up to $200 for that.
Right.
So take
Steve up on this and fill up his next 4 or 5 days with all kinds of emails. Come on. I want to see him yell and scream at me because I was the one who told him to do this.
I wanted to say something because, like I say, if you don't have a website and you're really serious, you need to really think about getting one.
Right.
And I remember I have a quote from Al Good. If you don't know Al Good's got Al Good product. I created his website.
Right.
And the quote that I have from Al Good is he said, if I'd have known it was this easy to put a website up, I would have called a long time ago. And that is definitely a quote from Al. So,
right.
And I guess we're getting down on our time factor here, sounds
yeah,
like.
Yeah, we're getting pretty close because we only have a couple of...
I will also, if anybody wants to contact me, my number is 918-409-2117. I'll be happy to answer questions for you. I won't charge you a consultation or anything. Like I said, I just want to help provide you with insight and get going. And, you know, I like to see a lot of events out there performing and see everybody everywhere, quite honestly.
I agree. I just think it's very important. And I'll be honest with you. When I first decided that I wanted to have a website, I had no idea, and my dreams have come true because of my website. So believe me, people, it works. It absolutely works. So you got to have a website. You really do. And Steve is the man. I can tell you that. He's the man. And you got a closing...
on the call, and you know, and we've had quite a few, looks like, in the chat. We've got quite a few on the internet, so thanks a lot, and we'll be talking to you soon.
Yeah, sounds good. All right, everybody, thank you for listening. Thank you for all of those that called into us, and stay tuned. We'll be coming again to you next month. We will have another show for sure, and we will talk with you then.